Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
From every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Welcome to Scottish Sovereigns, the land, and the home of No Borders Radio.
Government. Freedom. Law. Education. Health. Free energy. Money. Debt. Awake Radio. Deconstructing the dream world, one lie at a time.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you?
You know, for a second there,
yeah, I kind of did.
Constant sorrow through his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my only lover. I never expect to see you again. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman.
He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Thank you. name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
It's Old Shaziz here, out here in my mad science laboratory. I was just joined by Muddy. How you doing there, brother? Can't hear you. Turn your mic up. Why, y'all just got to call in and crash my show with no mic?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear me, too.
Uh-oh. How about now?
There you go. How you doing? Hello? Buddy!
Okay. I don't know what happened. Anyway, looks like my mic level set good.
Okay, I got you. Now that you've done your sound check right on live on air.
That worked good for my show all the way through. I promoted the show. I had a really good show. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm echoing in the back, brother.
Love your show start. That worked out. That's real good. Good music, good time and everything, especially the very beginning. Give My Creation Life.
Yeah, I was going to play a little bit of more evidence about global warming being a fraud. Oh, your echo is driving me insane.
Well, let me go ahead and clock off here. I'll use a different microphone. Maybe that'll cure it.
Okay. All right, that's my friend Muddy. He's going to swap onto a different microphone, I hope. Anyway, I was going to play a bit more evidence about global warming being a fraud, but I'm so sick of it. Global warming, it just makes me nauseated. Anyway, this world is just kind of, it drives me insane. I watched a documentary last night about space travel and all the reasons why we couldn't do it. And so I'm sitting here listening to all the reasons why we can't travel through space and all this kind of stuff because of all the micrometeorites and the radiation and the lack of technology and this and that. It boggled my mind. It just drove me insane. I'm sitting here and I'm freezing. I'm underneath a blanket, got the heater going. That's that little fan you probably hear in the background. And I'm thinking about the global warming freaks out there is talking about how the planet's going to heat up and the ice caps are going to melt off and the polar bears are going to drown. Never mind the fact that polar bears can swim for miles and the ice keeps on getting bigger. Well, just you hear a day or so ago, it froze overnight. And so next morning, standing out by the tree, I was watching the tree leaves fall off piles at a time. By the fistful, they were falling off, which told me that it got a whole lot colder than originally forecasted. And so all the trees, pretty much all the leaves on all the trees around, starting to drop their leaves off in mass quantities. So it looks like we're in for a really good winter. So much for the global warming freaks. I did a really funny video out there on my YouTube channel called Global Warming Freaks. Y'all go check that out. And then another one about caveman killed a dinosaur and black market light bulbs. Been hollering about global warming for well over 20, maybe even 30 years now. Can't even remember how long it's been. But the science is flawed, it's been flawed, and yet here we are, the year 2013. We can get a man to space, but we can't figure out that these guys are lying to everybody on the planet, trying to charge them for carbon taxes. To me, it's just ludicrous. And I look around out there in this world and I see all the craziness going on. That's why I call it mad science. Because it pisses me off that everybody out there does what they do and they expect you to believe it. You know? There's a terrorist behind every bush. There's a terrorist in your closet. There's a terrorist under your bed. The boogeyman's coming to get you. Doomsday's right around the corner. We're all going to die. It's driving me nuts. So instead of humanity using all the technology and the gifts available to us, what do we do? Ugh. What is it we're doing? Well, here on Shazoo's Radio, No Borders Radio, and We Roar Radio, and Awake Radio, and all the other networks combined, we're trying to make a difference in the world. We're trying to do something other than what's being done. We're trying to shout a voice of hope and peace and love out to the world. Stop the wars and the rumors of wars and all the craziness. In this world that we live in, there ain't no reason for anyone to starve to death. There ain't no reason for sickness. There ain't no reason for wars. there ain't no reason for a whole lot of stuff. And there's no reason why we couldn't travel through time and space. We have the capabilities. We have the technology. We have the fuel. People say, oh, wow, man, we probably never even went to the moon. Well, maybe we didn't. If their theories are correct, and space is such a dangerous place to be in, then maybe we didn't travel to the moon. But how are you supposed to know one way or another whether we did or didn't travel to the moon? Good question. Here we are in the year 2013. We got space age technology, cell phones, iPhones, PlayStations 3 or 4, whatever. I don't know what all we got now. We got so many high-tech video games and cell phones and plasma TVs and all this kind of stuff. And you tell me that we don't have the technology to travel through space and time? Nikola Tesla believed so. He believed we could. Oh, let's see if we get Muddy on here again. How you doing there, brother?
Oh, doing all right. Did the audio clear up?
Yeah, much better. I'm not echoing in the back, and you're sounding loud and clear.
Yeah, I changed a few settings and all that. Switched the microphone as well, just in case.
So anyway, I was on a bit of a rant. I was like talking about this documentary that I watched yesterday, last night, pretty much. I didn't sleep much last night. My mind was racing. It was just going in every different direction. We've been told by everybody and his brother, mostly the elite, that we can't do this and we can't do that, and mankind doesn't have the technology to travel far distances in space, and it's impossible to travel through time itself.
Yeah.
I seem, for some reason, I can't believe a word that any of the mainstream media or the governments of the world say. You know, here's a prime example. Those who would deny the existence of God in the elite circles of the world, for some reason or another, always try to make themselves God. They try to create a world in which all men are enslaved, and only the few, the top, the elite, the chosen ones, have access to the knowledge and the fruits of life, so to speak. So with that said, technology is suppressed. I know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can travel not just forward in time, but backward in time. We can travel through the vastness of space and interdimensional. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt whatsoever. And as far as free energy... As far as free energy goes, the only problem with free energy isn't that energy isn't free. It's that the things that we need to tap into energy is expensive and hard to come by. Every time a nifty gizmo comes out on the market, like there are light bulbs out there that would last for tens, maybe even hundreds of years, and yet they're not on the market. For some reason, they left faster than they got here. The car that would run on water, built by Stan Myers, that really did function. It worked. And it's a proven fact that you can burn fire. Or you can burn water. You can turn water into fire. You can use water for fuel. I mean, by science's own definition, hydrogen's explosive and oxygen will burn as well. So, with that said, what you know what's going on in this world outside of the fact that people just want to have people do things for them. The governments of the world want to suppress and lie and murder and loot and pillage while telling us all, each and every one of us, it's for the children. Really? It's for the children that you dumb them down in school? It's for the children that you go out there and drop bombs on other children? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, yeah, if it's for the children, then why are they giving us our children inoculations? That's killing some of them. We kicking in their immune system, doing all and making it mandatory. Why are they giving us medicines with mercury in them? Why are they making all your children's inoculations mandatory? Now, I got a friend here. He's got a son who goes to the doctor appointment. And because of the Obamacare, he does not have a choice as to does he have a choice to inoculate his kid or not. It's mandatory.
We got Jock on here. Hey, Jock, how's it going, brother?
It was going okay, Shazes, but I need to go now because the pigs are out. So I'm sorry we can't resolve the world's crisis, but I've got my own personal pig crisis just now. So, boys, don't worry about all these folk that are telling you the bloody well that it's just you know it's bullshit. Everybody knows it's bullshit with these governments are telling us, Shazes.
Yeah.
They're knackered. But I've got pigs out and they're all over the field, so I need to go out and chase them and get them back into the proper field. So must love you and leave you, man.
All right, peace, buddy. All right, we got Dublin in here too. How you doing there, Dublin?
How's it going?
Pretty good. Can you bring your mic up a bit?
No, there's no way to bring the mic up.
All right, I got you now.
Oh, good. I was listening in. You're doing good stuff as always. Keep up the good work.
Well, when I look out there at all the things, all the possibilities that we have, and I see that we're essentially, if you would put us on a scale of what we could accomplish, we're still in the Stone Age. I mean, we got technologies, amazing technologies, laser technology, plasma technology, and matter of fact, plasma technology has been around since the 1800s. But yet, we can't seem to accomplish the smallest goals in the world. We can't seem to get our act together. You know, it just drives me bonkers. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was always a great source of wonder to me that all these universities around the world with all these scientists that they're producing every year must be in the millions, and yet we're still riding around in cars that, basically burn petrol with a spark ignition engine that was invented in 1904 by Mercedes or somebody like that. So, okay, yeah, the cars are more shiny and their tires go longer distances and their engines last a few 100,000 miles instead of in the old days maybe 30,000 miles, but essentially the design hasn't changed. So where are we going wrong? Why are all these scientists not developing cars that run on air or water or something?
Well, I think it all boils down to this. It all boils down to control and money. Because if we the people had the actual technology that is available in this world, could you imagine what we could do? It's kind of hard to tame people who can have access to amazing technology. So you got to keep them down. You got to keep them to the point where the money that comes in all goes into your pocket. Regulate this, regulate that. We've got the capabilities to build amazing electric vehicles that will self-charge using the solar and the wind and everything else. They say the laws of physics, everything's against the laws of physics. Law of thermodynamics, the law of conservation of energy, and so on and so forth. Yakety yak. Every time I listen to somebody spewing out one of the laws of physics, I get nauseated. I feel like I want to throw up or something. It's just, to me, it's nuts. I mean, look what we've accomplished in the time that since the industrial age, when we started burning coal or whatever. We've accomplished a lot, but we haven't accomplished near what we have the capabilities of. We've got microchips, for Pete's sakes, that can hold up in the way up in the gigahertz and the terabyte range, and yet we can't build an electric car that'll recharge itself. It's just a matter of that they don't want it on the market. you got to sell all your oil before you give away free energy, right?
Hell, they'll never give away free energy.
Yeah, they're gonna try to suck a bit of it out of the ground.
They're not gonna give away free energy.
No, they're not going to give it away. They're going to try to sell everything that they can get money for, anything that they can meter. And that's what they want. I mean, and the deal, I mean, look, all the free energy and zero-point energy that has been proven, and like you were saying about the water, water doesn't burn. Well, yes, it does. It's right in the doggone Navy manual. You do not put water on an electrical fire or the fire will get bigger. It's not about electrocution. It's about that electricity hits it, and you make something that's called like Chantilly gas, and it burns, real good. The water car and the water spark plug and pistons and all that, I mean, the way it's real. Of course, there's proof. They killed him.
Yeah.
Just like everything else that goes against all that. And all these stupid deals that they say, well, that's against the laws of physics. Well, it's all been proven. Time travel. And look at the Philadelphia experiment. And, you know, we see the repercussions of that all the way, too. I mean, we go back to Nikola Tesla at the top of Pike's Peak. Oh, my goodness. Rings of lightning shot out 7.54 times per second. That 7.54 hertz, which was the resonant frequency of the Earth and time at that time. And it went all around to the antipode of the Earth, and lightning struck more than several, about 7.54 times in the same spot, over and over and over and over. And it came back, it flashed back, it took over the safeties and blew the whole doggone thing. And they took the Nikola Tesla's notes. But he had it all in his head. He's one of them guys that just memorized everything, photographic memory. Yeah, he didn't need to have them on paper. The paper was for everybody else's benefits. Time travel. No, there's no such thing. Yeah, right. People have accidentally stepped into a portal and come out, you know, way in the 1800s or farther back. There's been recorded events of that happening all through. Yeah, time travel is a reality. I'm sure in your situation there, my great king, that that you've experienced such things as that. And you know what? I don't put much back. I've done a lot of studying. 90% of what you see around you and feel and hear and all that, it's basically a lie and an illusion, man. We are beings made of energy, and you know, it's
well. And with that said,
you know, we can only see a certain spectrum of light, but there's many spectrums of light. Light is RF waves, magnetic waves, so isn't sound. It's just all on different spectrums. When you hit the right spectrum and you modulate things to the right frequencies, there's pretty much no telling what you can do. Just like Stan Meyer's experiments in HHO, he found out that he can get more than over unity. They say, well, your HH unit, you got to make electricity to make that happen. Well, you know, Stan Myers had it where it didn't take very much electricity at all because he modulated it at the right frequency. And he got big gains of HHO coming out of there. And the Chantilly gas, man, that's over unity in its way. If you count in water, you know, as for the amount of energy it takes to get so much energy out of the water, it's more like a steam shovel that runs on coal. Well, yeah, you get 40 billion tons of or 40 tons of coal out for 1 ton worth of coal burning in it. Well, in a way that's over unity, but the power is actually the coal, and it really doesn't take as much. We're able to get more energy out of stuff with just a little bit of energy if you do it right. You modulate it to the right frequencies. It's all about frequency. Everything is around you. There, like it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and evilness and wickedness in high places. The principality is all the things in the air around you. There are beings around you in the air that you don't see and you don't feel, but you get influenced by them, and they are real beings. They are there, and you know, if they're on a different spectrum, they can see us, they can mess with us, but we don't know they're there.
I would like to
flesh and blood. It's all around you, and basically, The evidence of it is everything that you're told, that you've been told for hundreds of years, and that you're free and all this stuff. You know, look, man, it's been all the way back to the ancient Sumerians. It's all been lies to us to keep us in kind of like a prison nation, so to speak. You think you're completely free? I don't care where you are in the world. You think, oh, yeah, we're the United States. Oh, we're Russia. Oh, we're UK. Oh, no, we're Ireland. Oh, this. You know what? You're talking about the same government, the same lies, the same group of people. They're all related to each other. They're all offspring from the ancient Sumerians that bred with the Anunnaki, who swore that they'd have us as their slaves. And the illusion that you're not a slave is the thing that keeps you going. Yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work, I'm going to make all this, and they tax you. They tax you for everything. You don't even own your dog. You got to pay a license for that. You got to pay a fee for this, to pay for that. Everything you own, even though you own it, you don't own it. Look at your doggone contract on your land payment, on your land deed. It says, it doesn't say occupant, it doesn't say owner, it says tenant. That means you're renting it from the government. Everything you own rents from it. And if you don't think that's enough, well, try to go to another country. Yeah, crack one joke, say, I smell bacon. Oh my goodness, you're automatically a terrorist, and you can be tried for treason and all that stuff, and they can come get you out of your home and put you in prison now without a trial, for no reason, for an indefinite period of time. You know, look, yeah, all the science and technology around you, they tell, oh, no, that laws of physics, that ain't real, that ain't nothing. Oh, no, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, all these things that they say is impossible, we have tested, documented, and proven, and then it's hidden by the mainstream media.
Well, I'd like to see somebody do some math, some real math, just like on a 9-volt battery, and actually calculate up using the time that it actually will run something that takes 9 volts of electricity to run, and calculate up by the second and the minute and the hour and how long that this thing is actually running, and divide that by the actual voltage that each and every deal is actually using. You might be surprised what you come up with. What do you think?
I think it's a wonderful thing. Free energy is all around us. The free energy device of Nikola Tesla, and earth batteries, all that, the telluric currents, all that. Hey, you're collecting. I know you've got an experiment going, and it's keeping your stuff charged, and you're running, and you're using it, and you've tested and proven it and shown it, and oh well, the only reason why they haven't stifled you or killed you, your video didn't go viral. Maybe that's it.
You know, I've really, if in the grand scheme of things, my videos very, very rarely ever even get watched. You know, if you actually go look at the numbers, as opposed to how many people's lives on this planet and are actually looking for free energy, it doesn't even scratch the surface.
So, well, look at what they've done to mine. Look at what they've done to mine. Look, I was getting about 7,000 something views, you know, per day, and as soon as it started taking off and looking like I was going to make the breakthrough of putting something out there cheaper where it would hurt industry's pocket, which is part of what I was preaching while I was on there. I was saying, yeah, well, they're going to sell you a 1.5 kilowatt wind turbine, and yeah, but that's 36 mile an hour wind for that size of prop. It's the only way possible. The power factor in the wind goes up 8 times when you double the size of your prop. I mean, when you double the wind. So let's take from 36 miles an hour, 1.6 kilowatts turned down to 200 watts at 18 mile an hour, and then you get down to 9 miles an hour, and you're only getting 25 watts. And that's only if their system is actually efficient, which basically they're not, because they're not axial flux. Axial flux are 95% plus efficient, but all that other stuff with all the steel inside the coils, it's just nothing but shorting out some of the mechanical power that you're doing by generating electricity in that steel, and it's shorted out. It's like shorting the coils out on a wind turbine. You make it go screech right to a halt. But no, it's not. But, you know, here I was sitting there trying to show, well, let's put it off at a price where people can afford. Well, what happened? all of a sudden they changed the algorithms and all that kind of stuff, and my videos ain't getting seen that much either. I'm down to about 2,000 views a day. Gee, my goodness. I lost 5,000 views a day? Yeah. They don't want people to have free energy because that stops their that money inflow from the corporations into the government and stuff.
Well, we know that we can get solar power, and a lot of folks complain that solar power is inefficient because you can't get enough energy out of the solar to, you know, run and make your cost worthwhile. But that's where they're wrong. You know, you could take one single 40-watt solar panel and hook it up to as many batteries as you can get your hand on in parallel. It may take a lot longer to charge all them solar panels up, but you can eventually get it to the point where you're still using electricity while you're still waiting for the rest of that cell to charge up. It's just a storage bank. It's like a capacitor, you know. You can store energy in a capacitor, and you can actually use a capacitor as a battery. So,
yeah.
With that said, there's the reason why I brought up that 9-volt battery and somebody actually doing the math. Because if you actually did the math of what voltage is actually being used by that thing per second or per minute or whatever, it doesn't equal up to 9 volts. 9 volts of electricity. It's the storage in there. You gotta like I said, you gotta do the math. You gotta calculate up the time, and then divide it between all that and see exactly how much energy it actually takes to run that particular device.
Yeah, a lot of the energy you're putting in the thing is being wasted by the voltage regulator shorting out anything above the voltage that's coming there straight to ground.
Yeah.
That's a waste.
And so with that said, if you was to do a little customization to certain items, you could actually get that thing to run, instead of maybe 9 hours for one 9-volt battery, maybe you could get it to run for 19 hours for one 9-volt battery.
Yeah. Or you could have the power that's supplied to a battery or a supercapacitor to cut off when it gets to a certain voltage, and it'll run on that for a while and then come on for just a little while.
Simple.
And that's kind of like a DC pulser to a DC engine.
Simple proof.
Motor. I mean,
simple
you
proof.
Go ahead.
Simple proof of concept is go out and buy you a watch, just a regular watch. All right, with the get you one with the little arms ticking. You know, little minute and hour arms that tick on there. And watch how long that battery actually lasts in that. I've had batteries last for a year, a whole year, running a mechanical device, a little micro motor. And these batteries are so, you know, they're a little choking hazard. You're not supposed to swallow them because they won't be good for you.
Yeah, you ain't supposed to swallow the watch either.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got what's called a pendulum wheel inside there. And just like a pendulum, man, Boomer's, you remember Boomer's big, huge pendulum, the dual escapement setup that he's got there using gravity to gain energy, and he's got 13 gain.
Yeah.
13 times what he's putting into it. He gets that thing going, and basically he's lifting, oh gosh, 2 times a minute, he's lifting like 50-something pounds, 2 inches, just by powering the top of it with his thumbs.
Well, so, with that said, you can build a watch and a battery that will last for an entire year. Don't you think that you could scale some of that up? Don't you think that you could actually make things that are more efficient? We waste more electricity on the power grid than you can possibly imagine. Just those, you call them wall warts, you know, you stick them in the wall, you plug your phone in, you charge it up, and then whenever you're done charging your phone, you unplug your phone, but you don't unplug that deal. And your average Joe doesn't realize that even though it's not being used, it's still using electricity. So, you know, with that said, we're making the power companies wealthy. We're making them filthy, stinking rich. I mean, they can go out and buy the cool tools. You know, those red line generators that I've got on my Electron 2. How many people even knew those things existed? You know, 12 volts to 120 volts at 500 watts. That's a pretty good step up, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, that's a great step up. Pretty efficient with what you got there too.
Yep.
I was actually talking to a friend in Virginia, and we was talking about the. He called it a moped, and I said, "Well, yeah, it's a motorbike." But I said, "Man, that thing flies." He's got two motors, one power and another, and he's got a battery on the backup dealer. I said, he gets around with it. He said, he's got a video on it, shows him hauling up and down a trail, and it's quiet, it's real nice, fun, and it's well built. Pretty decent setup you got there.
Well, the thing is, it was made out of junk, man. Imagine what you could accomplish if you actually put this into a really good machine shop, and you had precision bearings and precision everything. You know, there wasn't no, like in my video, you can hear the chain slapping against the guard, and because nothing's measured out right. It's just literally put together with junk. So the sprocket itself is wobbly. The pulleys are all wobbly, and the bearings are all wore out. Everything in this entire motorcycle is made out of junk. It's a 1976 Suzuki, all electric, running off of three lawn and garden batteries. All right? Now, if I can do this out of junk, what could they do with a really good factory, you know? Have you seen the motorcycle that they call Zero?
Yeah, I saw that.
God, them are nice bikes, you know?
A little strange looking, but...
Well, I think they're pretty cool looking.
Oh, yeah. Awesome but, lines. Great design.
But the thing is, if they use the concepts that I'm talking about on the Electron, on them motorcycles, you already got a vehicle you can travel to and fro without fossil fuel. You know? And
that's right.
You know, on fossil fuel, they say we're going to run out of oil. Really? I don't see it. You know, because there's tons and tons and tons of it all over the world. And even if we did run out of oil, so what? We got water. The Earth's 3/4 covered in water. And
let's look at how the electric vehicle came into our age. The only reason why we couldn't keep them, why they let us have the electric vehicles, they say, well, yeah, we'll make it a hybrid. And or they basically started out with GM with the EV1, and that's just total electric vehicle, and they had their little charging stations, but you couldn't buy the cars, and the people complained. Well, we knew we had electric vehicles way back, so we couldn't stifle that technology. It's already in history. Even Nikola Tesla had one that ran off a little black box that took the power from the air and ran his vehicle up to 90 miles per hour, and he could ride around in it all day long. Well, you know, we ain't got that technology here, but but what is actually recorded and people do know is they had most of the delivery vehicles back then were electric. And, I mean, and well, like Nicholas would do 90 miles an hour. Holy moly! It's hard to say, you know, and the electricity, I mean, cost you less per horsepower than any other form of electricity like gas and all that stuff. Well, they figure they can't meter electricity, so they shut the EVs down and had to call all the cars back and everything like that, and the people complained. So now we got electric vehicles back out there, and they're selling them, and they're actually going to the people. And the hybrids, the thing is, they... Anything that the government sees that they can't tax or make some way of or metering it or taking it, so you can take your EV home and put it up to your wind turbine, charge it up, and then go drive around some more. The way they get around that, they said, oh, well, yeah, there's a new tax, a new road tax, just for those that don't buy gas or don't buy as much gas. So we're going to put an extra road tax on them. And they do, and it's pretty high.
Well, you can also throw that same...
Everything that you just spent went right back out your pocket all over again anyway.
You can also throw that same wind turbine on that electric vehicle. You can throw solar on that electric vehicle. You can use the wheels for generation. You can use the motion of the steering wheel for generation. You can use the thermal electrics for generation. I mean... there's regenerative braking out there, and people, you know, can't understand that, that whenever they brake, it's actually putting juice back into the battery and so on and so forth. So with all these technologies combined, there's not one single reason why you can't build an electric vehicle that'll recharge itself. You know, outside of the fact that, you know, somebody wants to sell oil. If you're sitting on tons and tons of oil and you want to make money off of it, the last thing you want is a guy named Stan Myers telling everybody not to buy oil because you can run it on water.
I'm sorry. But what about the Stirling engines?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, dude.
We got Jonathan on here. How you doing, buddy?
You're pretty good.
You're live on air on Shazoo's Radio, Awake Radio, We Roar Radio, and No Borders Radio, and many other networks.
Okay, cool.
So, have you been listening in?
I just came on when you were talking about, not even a minute ago. Like, you were talking about the Stan Myers car.
Yep. What do you think about Stan Myers?
Based on what I know about him, I'd love to try and replicate some of his work.
Well, it's simple enough. Start off learning about hydrogen cells. Hydrogen cells are the simplest thing to make. All you need is a couple plates of stainless steel, preferably. Basically, you can use what they call here in the United States, seltzer water. Best choice is what I bought. It was like 2 liters of soda water, carbonated water. You can put that into your hydrogen cell and literally produce fuel. So you can drive your car around on soda water, man.
How much is soda water generally cost?
It's like 79 cents for this 2 liter.
Oh, wow.
A whole lot cheaper than gas and a lot more power. Very, very rich. The other thing is steam. I guess they can't, if you can burn trash or wood or something like that. Yeah, GM actually made a Stirling engine car. And it took a minute to warm up. And they said, well, that's the reason why we're not going to put them out here, because people want to get in their car, turn the key, and go. So that, you know, they don't want to waste another 45 seconds when they get in the car to have enough power to, you know, put the pedal to the metal and go. The government here had a pickup truck. They took out the 75 horsepower. I'm sorry, the 90 horsepower engine out of a pickup truck, and they stuck in a Stirling engine that had 75 horsepower. A Stirling engine sits under the hood, can burn anything. It can burn diesel, it can burn gas, it can burn coal, and it can burn wood. And they drove it all over the United States under all different fuels and stuff, found it to be getting about double the gas mileage and decent power for pulling and everything.
So, with that said, the technology is there. You know what's good about the carbonated water?
Are you talking to me?
Either one of y'all.
What?
What's good about the carbonated water is if you got like a regular hydrogen cell, a lot of times they'll tell you to put like baking soda in there to give it some conductivity so that it can actually produce hydrogen faster. Well, the good thing about carbonated water is it has CO2 in it, and so that little bit of carbon inside there is actually the conductor that helps produce the energy. So, you know, just by heck, if you want, you could run your doggone car on pure soda. Might as well just use the soda water, though.
So if you had one of these engines, basically for you, gas would now be back down to 79 cents a gallon.
Pretty much. But
wait. Yeah, is it 2 liters to a gallon or 4 liters?
Well, there's 4 quarts to a gallon, so that'd be... never mind.
guys, on the making hydrogen, there is a video which has got a much more simpler, cheaper way to do it. You know the stainless steel for cleaning your
we're losing you there, Dublin.
Scrub pads.
Well, we lost
you. Is that what you're talking about? Like Brillo pads? Yeah, stainless steel scrubbing pads.
Anyway, what about them?
You talking about those stainless steel scrubby pad batteries that they make?
I think we lost Dublin there.
Looks like he did. I think he's talking about taking two steel wool pads and the thicker steel wool, because with all that all ground shredded up like that and put together, they take the stainless steel and I'm not too sure if it's just I think it's just regular Drano stuff, and they basically put it in there, or lemon juice, or whatever they want to use for an acid, and they can make batteries. And these can charge up and discharge all the way, and charge back up, discharge all the way. And they're pretty efficient. And meaning, if you put in 15 watts for an hour, well, you got 15 watt hours, and you're going to get about 12 watt hours back out of them, which is a whole lot better than the lead acid batteries. The lead acid batteries, you can charge them for 3 hours and only get 2 hours worth of energy out of them. And if you drain them down too far, then you've ruined them. So,
well,
I think that's basically what he was getting at.
I don't know if it was Stan Myers or someone else, but someone had created a way of fixing old batteries, even lead acid batteries, even after they were considered irreparably gone.
Yeah, they actually sell a chemical set that you can buy, that you can put down in old batteries. And most generally, if you take distilled water and a lead acid battery and basically pour distilled water, and you can bring them back to life unless there's like a bad cell inside there, and then you need to use some of that other chemical to try to rejuvenate the cells themselves. But it's possible.
Or Epsom salt's supposed to take some of the sulfation off the plates. The only thing you got to look on that is if you go to do it to a battery, you got to make sure that battery's showing 10 volts. If it's dropped down below that, it's pretty much waste. That means your plates have deteriorated so much that it's all sitting down at the bottom, and you probably got a few dead cells where all that material is actually shorting plates out and anything that comes to it.
But you know, I've been using the same battery for over 2, maybe close to 3 years now. The same battery had one dead cell in it. I'm still getting 13 some odd volts off of this battery after running it through my system. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I showed in a few of my videos where I can actually light up a fluorescent bulb with that battery.
Yeah.
So, with that said, there are ways to fix even bad cells in batteries. And even batteries with bad cells are still have storage capacity.
The best thing, if you really want a good battery, you go get you a new battery, one that hasn't been used very long, and showing full voltage to get rid of the acid. But you can get some batteries without the acid. They used to, a lot of the batteries had the acids on the side so you could activate them. But the deal is, if you get the acid out of there and you put alum and Epsom salt inside the batteries, instead of a 13.8 top and 12.7 resting voltage and good power down to about 10.5 volts, you wind up with something that'll allow itself to discharge all the way down to about 8 volts and can be charged all the way up to 16 volts. And the power output that you can get out of it due to the storage is about 3/4 of a lead acid battery. But the good thing is, with the alum and the Epsom salts, is these plates do not deteriorate. They do not sulfate. There is no sulfur. And the thing is, they'll last up to about 52 years.
Well,
and,
you know,
great for solar and wind. You can do that. Are they on the market? No.
The closest thing that you're going to find on the market that has to do close to what you were talking about is the marine batteries, which you can drain them down to like 20% of their actual charge before you actually have to recharge them. They'll They'll still...
Yeah, that and golf cart batteries, because they got real fat plates on them.
Yeah. So, with that said, the technology's out there.
Yeah, they told them... Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Has anyone ever heard of the power cell thing by Hutchinson?
Crystal batteries?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He used Rochelle salts and Epsom salt and...
Crystal batteries.
Yeah. That's the one.
They align the... he puts all these Rochelle salts and all that, mix it all together, and put a charge on it while it's... after he's applied the paste and got the two terminals in there. One's a carbon, the other one's just the lead on the outside, or zinc, and basically bake it until it dries while it has a charge going on it. But the charge never leaves, and if the power starts to drop, short it out for a second. And all of a sudden it comes back to life like a brand new battery and keeps on going. They just don't seem to die out.
Yeah, I wanted to replicate those, but I could. I got the Epsom salt fine at the local drugstore, but the Rochelle salts, I was like, I'm not gonna make it homemade because I don't really want to, you know, have that kind of mess in my kitchen. And so then I looked online, and it's way too expensive for me right now.
Well, make it in the garage, doggone. Make a batch that's worth of it. Then you could get on the web and sell some of it.
does Hutchinson have a patent on it?
That I don't know. I know they're not out there on the market for sale unless somebody is just making them at home and selling them.
You know what? You don't have to worry about patents unless you plan on selling something.
Yeah, well, he was saying, you know, make some and sell them, and I was like, doesn't seem...
Anyway... So, here we go. We're here in 2013. We have all this amazing technology, but yet we're living in the Stone Age. Does anybody have any reasons why we should be living in the Stone Age?
Nah. If anything, we should be living in close to like a Class 3 civilization right now.
Well, yeah.
With the technology that we have, there's no reason we should still be a Class 2.
Well, there is a reason, because those folks at the top want to stay rich.
Yeah, that's why when you go to apply for a patent, it sits in the office for a year and might not even get awarded the patent, or it might even not even get awarded a look. But while it's on a patent, it's on the web for somebody else to look at.
Well, if you put anything...
I can write a better description and turn patent in and get it for himself. Them corporate guys sitting there looking at your stuff and saying, yeah, I need to patent that. And so they do. They write a better description and get the patent. But here's one thing you can do. Now, I'm putting this to people. Go ahead and make your device, because 90% of the inventions that are patented have never even been made, not even the prototype. They're all theories and all this kind of stuff, in case somebody decides to make it. So here's what you need to do. What you need to do is build it, show it, prove it that it works, put it on video, then before you even show it to the world, you sell it to your mother for a dollar and get a receipt and a copy of that receipt where you both have signed it with a witness and all that kind of stuff. Therefore, when they come out, as soon as you put your copywritten video out there, which is usable in court for your patent, and you apply for your patent or whatever, and somebody else says, oh yeah, I'm going to write that up, and then they try to get the patent, go ahead and let them. Let them. Because as soon as they do and they start producing it, you can produce as many as you want. And you also have the right to send your drawings or parts to a different company to be manufactured, somebody to oversee the selling and marketing of it. And you can do that, and you can make as many as you want, even though the other guy's got a patent. Why? Because you got a receipt showing that you made it before he did and sold one, and it works. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. That's better than a patent. That means you can do everything that a patent allows you to.
Well, I don't want no stinking patent.
They'll award you the patent, and you get money from the other guys. So go ahead and do it that way. It works much, much better.
All I'm saying, you go try to put anything that says anything remotely perpetual motion to the patent office, they won't even give you a patent on it. They won't even look at it. Why is that?
Because they're under the somebody else's thumb?
Well, yeah, they don't want anything out there on the market that's going to take any money out their wallet or any power out their brain there, so to speak. So, I don't want no stinking patent. I'm just going to make it. I'm going to show it to the world and let the world decide. You know, if everybody knows how to make it, then it's going to be kind of hard for everybody to sell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My deal is something that's like an open thing, like my wind turbine, the axial flux. Everybody knows how to build an axial flux. Well, not everybody knows how to build an axial flux, but many people have. And really, nobody's really got a patent on it unless you just have it just your way and a slight change to your measurements and power of the magnets, how many wraps of the coils and your dimensions. That's the only thing. You cannot get a patent on the axial flux, but you can get a patent for your axial flux, and you can put it out, and I really don't care about an axial flux. I'd rather show people how to do it, take it from the trash can, take it off a car, buy a few little things there, put it together, and make your own free energy device. And the cool thing about that is, say you get a tornado, whing, it goes flinging off, it's five blocks down the road, the prop is broke, but basically the rest of it's okay. Man, just carve, get you another $2.76 piece of 10-foot 2x4, cut it in half, carve two props, put it back up there in the air. You don't have to wait for some company to fly the technician over here to look at it, and he's supposed to be fixing it. He's gonna charge you the price of the plane, maybe $1,200 to get here, and then he's gonna charge you about $250 an hour, and he's gonna look at me, yep, it's broke. Yeah, we're gonna have to order some parts. I'll be back next week. And what are you going to do when the turd hits the fan? You think you're going to have a telephone call, be able to call them? Do you think them people are going to come to you? No. Why not have something that you can repair yourself and do yourself? That's my idea. I really don't give a rat's patootie about a doggone patent. I want the world to have what I show them. I want it to be free. It's free energy. It's ours. It comes from the earth. It comes from the wind. It comes from the sun. It comes from compost, to heating up the water in a coiled-up coil underneath the compost to come in there and heat your shower water for as many showers as you want all day long, or to heat your house with a doggone radiator with a small power fan, and that water's just circulating in there, and the heat's coming off the compost. And there's many ways that you can do so many things, and the biggest thing that you can do, learn how to conserve your energy. Get them stupid wall warts out of there. Get everything that sits there and has got a remote control sitting there waiting, wasting about 4 or 5 watts worth of power all day long. Put it on a terminal strip. Shut it off if you're not using it.
Well, the whole thing about waste is the entire system. Everything was made inefficient, and I believe it was made deliberately inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Oh, heck yeah. I mean, my goodness, you sit there and look at the alternator on a car. It is 5% efficient. And let's go on a little bit more. The boom, the power, the fire, the explosion in your piston, 5% of that energy actually makes it to your rear wheels.
You know, can I say something?
Go ahead, man.
I don't know if the idea has been out there before, but I looked at a piston one time and thought about how you could make an electric piston, you know, using use a really, really strong neodymium magnet type thing, and then put an air core around it. And I figured, you know, if you charge it with like a neon sine transformer and then rectify it so that it's like just straight DC, then you should, and apply some sort of switching circuit, then you could, you know, force the piston up and down and still get like a whole lot of torque.
Well, go on Shazoo's radio, and I think it's on the Mad Science page, and click on the car.
It's already been done?
He's got a nice drawn and full setup of the whole thing working, how it's powered, all the lines going to it. What is that, a 12-cylinder or what?
Yep, it's an electric pulse engine, 12-cylinder, all electric.
Yeah, you get to see what you were thinking about in action. It's pretty neat.
Also, it's been duplicated. You can go on YouTube and Google solenoid engines, and you can see versions of the same thing.
Well, I mean, I Googled it, and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I was like, maybe I do have an original idea for once.
Yeah, if you wanted to build a small one, I had a few ideas for you that Shaziz. Either you just get a whole bunch of speakers, or just take the cone off and use the pistons and the whole set right up there, or you can get the solenoids that run out of the transmissions that go for the 2-4 and the 1-3 gears set up for shifting and all. Those things, they just replace them because they figure, let's replace everything when we rebuild this. You can go to a transmission shop, go to that dumpster back here. I guarantee you can come out with about 30 of them on any given week. And they're free, and they work. So, yeah, pull them out, clean them up, and there you go. You got something that kicks right there, and it's free. I like free energy. I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
So I will have to wait to get something. What are we talking about again?
I was talking about going to the transmission shop. Go to their dumpster after hours. They got the solenoids that go for the 2-4 gears and 1-3 gear shifting setups. That they take those solenoids out. They're pretty much square, good size, and they work really well. But they throw them out. They just replace them. So you can go to any dumpster at any. Transmission shop and come out with about 30 or 40 of them for free.
Well, see, there's all kinds of stuff out there that can be recycled. I mean, people, if you're sitting around and you're watching TV or using a microwave or have a computer in your house, all kinds of electronics, you got everything you need to produce power. All you got to do is know how to tap it in. Know just the basics of electromagnetism, and you got a generator, plain and simple. It's not hard.
Hey, Dublin, you still there?
I think we lost Dublin a bit.
Oh yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm still here, but yeah, my signal when I talk to you guys seems to cut off. So I was listening in to everything. What I was saying earlier when I got cut off was that you buy the stainless steel wool in the supermarket, and that has a big surface area for making hydrogen. I don't know, do they sell stainless steel wool in America?
Oh yeah, good fat, coarse ones.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you get a sock and you put one stainless steel piece into the sock, and then you put the other stainless steel piece on the outside of the sock, and you get a glass jar, and you put it in the glass jar and connect up the positive and the negative, and then you get hydrogen. It's the cheapest, easiest way I've seen to make hydrogen. I bought some stainless steel cloth the other day in the shop, and I'm going to experiment with it. But I put a link in there on Shaziz's thing, and it's called Les Brown's Physics of Crystals Full Documentary. I've only seen about half of it. I'm going to see the other half later on tonight. But I was thinking that I might try and do experiments putting crystals around the glass jar or in the glass jar mixed in with the stainless steel cloth. And I like that idea you had of soda water. That's more easy than getting the other stuff.
Yeah, you can go to your local grocery store and buy seltzer water.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Less messy than buying this, whatever you call that, soda stuff for cooking cakes or whatever. So, and I'm going to experiment around to see what can give me the most amount of power for the least amount of, costs and complexity. So hopefully by just putting crystals in, they will boost the production of the hydrogen. So
So I'll keep you guys notified. And then if it does work well, then what I'll try and do is get big lead acid batteries and change them over to become what we call that with the alum and the Epsom salts. Put about six of them in the boot of the car and get about 500 watts of power and put them through a whole load of glass jars filled with stainless steel cloth and try and produce enough hydrogen to reduce my fuel cost by, say, 50%.
You should be able to essentially take your car completely off of gas and use straight hydrogen. So, you know, they always talk about they can't get enough hydrogen. Stan Myers did.
It takes a lot of power to make.
Well,
it takes a lot of power to make that much hydrogen. And also, my car's a diesel, so it does need some diesel to ignite the fuel.
I know this for a fact. The farmers back in the old days with diesel engines used to take and get the diesels up to operating temperature. Once they got up to operating temperature using the diesel, they would start injecting water straight into the cylinders, and they were running their tractors off of water.
Was that 100% water, or was that a mix of water and diesel,
Straight water.
100% water.
They did it back in the old days. The farmers did it. My father-in-law, who is a farmer, he's the one that told me about the whole deal and told me how it worked.
And it was 100% water they were running off.
Yeah, once they got it up to operating temperature, it's the equivalent of throwing water on electrical fire. See, all you need is oxygen. All you need is heat in order to separate the hydrogen. See, whenever the cylinders got to a certain temperature, you throw water in there, it would immediately flash the steam, And under the pressure, right pressure and right temperature, it would burn instantly, just like throwing water on electrical fire.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that the old-fashioned tractors did have a kind of a glow plug that was on permanently.
Yep.
So it might require converting my diesel engine to keep the glow plug going all the time. Now, the glow plugs use a lot of amperage. I mean, they're 10 amps each, so that's 40 amps of power.
Yeah, but look back at the old...
find from somewhere.
Look back at the old generators that used to be on them tractors. Those things worked really good. They had voltage regulators in order to try to keep the battery from overcharging.
Yeah. That was basically a relay that cut off and cut down. You adjusted the resistance of the electricity going to the coil to regulate your voltage. And it's just nothing but a relay.
Look up the resistor. Look up a book called Secrets of the Alternator, and you would be surprised at what the alternator is actually capable of. The alternator, the ones that have built-in regulators already regulate the power, but there are ones that don't have, like the old AC Delcos. They essentially... we'll put out 120 volts AC without very little modifications. And so with that said, if you didn't have a voltage regulator in your car, you'd start a wire fire.
Yeah. Hey, let me get back to Dublin on one thing here. Great idea. Basically, I love the idea of the stainless steel for the HHO. I hadn't heard of that one. I thought you were talking about...
There's a video on YouTube somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I'll be digging up trying to find it before I go ahead with the project.
And let me add a couple of pointers to it to help you out on your project. Looking at Stan Myers, he was talking about 27 megahertz. Oh, my goodness. Well, you need something to generate 27 megahertz? Well, here's what I think.
27 megahertz citizen band, if I recall, yeah?
Yep, 27.185 middle frequency on channel 19, by the way.
Do you know that...
if you can hit one of the upper channels, upper 16 or something, and if you take your stainless steel and you put it inside a piece of PVC that's, you know, of a decent length or so, and you go ahead and put both of your elements in there. You can make them as long or as big or as whatever you want, and put your water in there, and then measure the resistance from one set to the other, until you add a little bit of, add just a little bit of salt at a time until you can get to 50 ohms, and that'll give you maximum power transfer from your CB into the conduction of the water, where it's not going to heat up your CB, and you'll be real close to maximum efficiency right there. So throwing that at you.
The old RC cars.
I'll come back to you on that, Muddy, because that'll be a bit downstream, and so I'll just try and get hold of an old CB set. I mean, the planet used to be swimming in them, but I don't know. CB went out of fashion when Skype came in.
Y'all know.
Only like $5 at a garage sale, dude.
Hey.
Yeah.
The old RC cars, the remote controls for the old RC cars are on 27 megahertz.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's another source of RC power. Find an old RC set, 27 megs. Yeah, I didn't know it was 27 megs, because that's news to me that Stan Myers was using 27 megahertz. But my idea of getting the crystals is, apparently crystals seem to generate radio frequencies of their own accord. So
yeah, well,
if I throw them in,
the crystals are conductive. Why can't we just go ahead and put the crystals in the water, put a bunch of them in parallel and run them up there and let that do all the work, and it'll keep the frequency just right.
What I always was wondering is if Hutchison's crystal batteries and other people's crystal batteries type things produce energy that never drop, the voltage never drops, why can't we run, like, build a special micro transformer that then, you know, to do like some sort of resonance thing, and then just gradually step it up until you have like workable gigawatts?
Yeah, it'd take a bunch of them, but yeah, it's feasible. If you spent your free time for a little while, after a while, heck, you'd have light bulbs in your house that never go out and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, well, yeah, you wouldn't need the wall warts no more. You just start charging your stuff right off some of them batteries. Just keep making more. And the less electricity you have to pay for, well, the more you can buy Rochelle salts and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's why I was wanting to build one of those. Because I was like, the way, after watching the video on YouTube, you know, after I got over the fact that, because I thought that he was just, you know, crazy or whatever, and it wasn't real, but then I was like, I'll watch it anyway, because it might just be a, you know, thing to get people to leave him alone. And so I got basically the proper information from it, and then went out to buy it, and I'm like, oh wow, this is like not within my price range. But if I can build it, then I definitely want to make these.
Don't everybody talk at once. I mean, we're only live on air.
Sorry about that. I let the dog out. Whoop, whoop.
Oh.
He'd be on the show barking. So.
My whole thing is this, man. With all the stuff that we have capabilities of doing, and people still want to sit around and complain that they ain't got free energy yet. Seriously? You can get free energy out of everything. Everything's energy. Your energy. So, what are you waiting for? Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people say, well, I'd start this project, but, you know, I haven't got all the facts together. I ain't figured it all out. Well, look, man, it's just like carving a prop. Well, I can't carve a prop. I'm afraid to make the first cut in the wood. I'll probably mess it up. You know, look, man, the 2x4 costs $2.76 for a doggone 10-foot 2x4. Cut it in half. You got two tries, and even if you mess it up, the wind doesn't care. The main deal is just do it. And after you've done one, you can do the second one real easy because you've done made all the mistakes. You know what to look out for. Anything that you got your mind set on, building HHO batteries or the crystal batteries or whatever, even if it fails, even if you're trying to build a Stirling engine from the junk in the trash can like I show you how, you know, oh, I don't know, that looks too technical. It ain't nothing technical about it. Just do it. And, you know, use somebody else's, like you see on the video, use somebody else's as a guide or somebody doing it. And that's basically what I'm trying to do. No fear. Just do it. That's the main thing. If you never do it, then you can't fail. And look, you learn by your mistakes. I'm all gung-ho to go make a mistake, Bubba, because I want to learn. I sit restless thinking of one thing next thing I got to do, and my big deal is I got too many irons in the fire from doing all that. But, you know, hey, I put something out, I do something, and I just want the whole world to be able to just do it on their own. If you can go to a trash can and build a stupid motor and, you know, take a little bit of your veggie oil and make you a little lamp that kicks up under that sucker, it'll spin all day. You know, put a couple magnets, a few coils, and, you know, pulse charge your cell phone. Why not? Make free energy. Make it a point to just jump out and build something that you've never built before. Or you're going to be doing the same thing that you've always done, and if you always do the same thing that you've always done, you'll always be where you've always been.
Well, if the average Joe out there would support all the researchers out there, the good researchers that are actually giving away information, pulling all their resources together, helping do and research and so on, like we do here on Shazoo's Radio, and basically bringing all these brilliant minds together. That's why I wanted to get virtual labs up and running, and we're still trying to get some coding sorted out so that we can do this. There's means by which we can do it already, but everything costs money out there. So with that said, you know, you're at the mercy of your budget if you're a researcher like us, you know what I mean?
Well, I thought about a little of that. Well, we got Skype, but we could make a single group, you know, that you can just leave, you know, put out there, you know, and where people can connect, kind of like Knights of the Round Table. If you connect and throw their ideas and links around and all that kind of stuff and see what's up. As long as we're sharing something and one person's making progress, everybody's got the attention on it and want to see what's going on. And their ideas will flow. And I tell you what, the power of 100 minds is awesome. If two people can do five times the work of one, then what happens when you get when you get 100 people or several hundred? They're all there. Well, if it's a project where you're not really worried about patents, you know, make it open source, man. Make it open source. The open source is what made the axial flux wind turbine, which is 95% plus efficient. How do you get that? Well, it's open source, man. Minds thinking together to develop something that has efficiency and kicks out. If you only got so much power out of a prop, well, why waste it in the stupid metal cores inside a coil?
Well, Cultus has the...
power out of it, do it. That's the thing, yeah. So I think a Skype, maybe another Skype room that we can put together.
Cultus has the group version where you can have group video, and so I'm talk to him and see how that thing works and what it costs, and we can use something similar to that if it's not too expensive, and try to run some codes with that.
$10 a month.
Well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad. That's $120 a year. And if, heck, we chip in, we can pay for a year. No problem.
Well,
real quick.
Then maybe we need to do that.
Or if somebody out there in the listening audience just wants to go ahead and, you know, wants to just go ahead and send in a donation to us, just go ahead and contact them on the Shazoo's Radio. Go ahead and put a deal in there. Say, hey, I'd like to do this. Give me your address, blah, blah, blah. Here's my email or something. You know, feel free to. I mean, I'm sure we can write it as a tax write-off maybe, right?
I'll look into the whole issue. Either way, we're coming down to the last 15 minutes or so of the show. Where do we go to from here, man?
The next program. Let's all call them on Skype and bombard them and keep, no.
Now, we've thrown a lot of ideas out there on the table. My biggest frustration is that people just don't believe in themselves enough to do things.
Or us.
Well, I'm all gung-ho to make that pop-up boat out of this sailboard I got. Because, that thing goes on the water, like snot on a doorknob. It's just slippery as heck on the water, man. Get on that thing, I put my arms down the side, and I give them one push like you do on them blow-up rafts. And I go five times farther than I do on them blow-up things. That thing just kind of just rides on the water like it's wet ice. And, shoot, man, if I put a pop-pop motor on that thing, I guarantee I can cruise around the lake all day long on a log and probably get about 10, 12 mile an hour, maybe 20, who knows?
You know, it's funny.
You got a contest coming. Why don't you tell them about that?
It's funny you talk about the how smooth that thing is across the surface of the water. And back probably about at least 5 or 6 years back, they were talking about a suit that they designed to give bicyclists a edge in racing because it had a surface area on it that wouldn't be the least amount of drag in the wind. So we have the capabilities of making surfboards that will glide through the water really easy, skis that will slide across the snow real easy, suits for water that you can swim easier because less drag, and we have suits that you can wear on a bicycle so the wind ain't slowing you down nearly as much and gives you the edge. So with all that said and all that technology available, I'm telling all the elite scientists of the world, take the laws of physics and stick them where the sun don't shine, brother.
That's right. Now, I tell you what, on the pop-pop boat, you could have several tubes coming out to work with. Well, you take one of them tubes and turn it into, put a piston in that sucker to catch that vibration. You can have that sucker spinning a flywheel with magnets and air core coils and generate some electricity so you can jam on a radio while you're flowing around all off that stupid log.
I put a little bicycle generator, I put a turbine on it, and I stuck it on the side of my car as I was driving down the road, and I was blowing out light bulbs with that thing because of the amount of energy that it was actually producing as I'm driving down the road. And so what you're talking about with the pop-pop engine, there's a guy out there who actually made one of the pop-pop boats, and it doesn't make any noise at all. He just redesigned it to where it's just silent, but it still does exactly the same thing. So if you can get noise out of the thing, then you can also get some sort of motion out of there to do exactly what it was that you're talking about.
Yeah, I saw that video. He didn't have the flexing metal going pop, 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 pop. And the only thing was left was the bubbles in there. He kind of basically had it kind of where the length of the tubes and everything were kind of tuned. Great video. I'd love that to just ride around in almost silence, You barely hear it. So probably sound probably less quiet than one of them trolling motors. And that's sweet, man.
So for those out there listening in, we are putting together Cultus and I and a few other individuals are putting together a contest to see who can build the best pop-pop boat. And we'll get all the rules and the video out to get that thing started. We're going to probably put it a couple months down the line to give everybody a chance to actually get a project done and sent in and all that kind of stuff. So it's a project in the works, but we are definitely going to do the contest and get that going and have some really cool prizes for the winners and such. And so with that said, Jonathan, you got anything else?
No, not really.
All right. Well, do we still have Dublin?
Yeah. I just wanted to say one thing about the electric engine that's done inside a tube, like a coil. Those like the 12-cylinder one, and that my information on it is that the issue is that you don't get that much torque doing an engine that way, but I'm still working on how it could be useful. I was going to try and make one that was circular where you might have say for the sake of argument, 4 or 6 or 8 arms, and on the end of each arm would be a coil, not so much a coil, a magnet.
I can
and then
take
it would pass through coils.
I can take a I can take a 6-volt rechargeable drill and drive a 2-inch screw into a solid 2x4. So there's a whole lot of torque going on there. So with that said,
it's not actually in the it's not actually in that little DC motor in there. It's in the gearing of it because it spins so fast.
Exactly.
The electric motor does not change no matter what the RPMs are.
See, folks out there doing all the math, they just don't get it, man. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. Surely, electric motor, if you look real close on electric motors, you'll see that they're anywhere from a quarter horsepower on up to 5 horsepower, and depending on how far you want to go, you can actually get some electric motors that have some amazing RPMs. And with that said, you take those RPMs through the same type of deal. See, if you took your car engine and you took the transmission out and just run a direct chain drive to it, or a belt drive, you wouldn't get nowhere near the torque that you get from that transmission. It's all in the gear ratio.
The cool thing about
The thing is,
I figure if you go ahead and downshift, it'll act as a generator to replenish the battery. You use that for braking, downshift one more, slow down a little more, and only use the brakes minimal.
Yeah.
And you can regain all your power.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most electric motors are, in the model airplanes we use them, we use all different types. I mean, we've got some that turn little propellers and make jets fly, and we've got some that turn big, huge propellers, and they're more like helicopters. So you can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but the big problem with all normal electric engines is you get in the back EMF. So you generate the electric coil field, and then as it disintegrates, it's creating a parasitic drag on the engine. The magnet passing through a coil like a piston, it doesn't create back EMF, so you're getting higher efficiency.
The back EMF can be defeated just by redesigning the motors. If you look I did a little video with a doggone peanut butter lid and a little cordless drill motor, and you'll notice that in this. In this video, the flywheel is hovering above and above the coils, and it's not being surrounded by the coil. See, when you get the electron flow back into the coil, because it has to make a complete path, that's when you get that secondary electromagnetic field that they call back EMF. So when that happens, it creates a second field when the coils are surrounding the magnet. The flywheel, then it acts as a brake and it starts to slow down the armature. So by having the flywheel hovering above, just above the field, high enough to where it can't couple back as easy, then you will defeat the back EMF and be able to get massive RPMs. The faster you get that flywheel to spinning, the more energy that you're going to produce. And so with that said, the back EMF that you get in your alternators and your generators, like in your car or your just a regular gasoline generator, could be easily defeated by redesigning the charging system itself. Instead of having an armature that's surrounded by coils of magnet wire or vice versa, then you have a flywheel that is hovering above the coils, so that the back EMF, even if it does go back into the core, is only going to strengthen it.
I haven't seen that system. Is there a YouTube on it?
Yeah, it's it's in one of my videos. I can't remember the name of it, but it's essentially a cordless drill motor And it has a peanut butter lid with neodymium magnets in it and two-part epoxy resin to make the flywheel and a U-shaped coil. U-shaped coils are the trick because you get that flow back through the coil itself, and there's actually two coils on one U-shaped core. I think I also put a video out there, mini generator or something like that. I got so many videos out there, I can't remember the names of all of them. But it shows how to take a microwave oven transformer, chop it in half, and make 8 U-shaped coils out of it. And you make a generator that you put energy in one side, and you get energy out the opposite side. Whatever, you can drain off of it at several different ports. Anyway, we're down to the last about 8 minutes of the show. You guys got any final words there?
No, I'm good. Actually, all this talk about the motors has just made me want to start working on mine again, so I'm going.
All right, well, have at it. Thanks for joining us on Shaziz Radio. What about you, Dublin?
Yeah, no, that's good. I'll go look at those videos. I'll check. I must have missed them somehow.
Yeah, one of them I think is called Mini Generator. There's, I think if you just go on there on the video portion and do a search for generators, you might come up with the one I'm talking about.
Right, that's good.
What about you, Muddy?
I think he was talking about doing a rotary. I think that's what he was describing, a rotary solenoid engine. If you go with odd pistons, you'll have a lot better efficiency. If you can do, like the other generators you're talking about, like the U, that's using both sides of the magnet.
Yeah.
It's like having twice as many magnets. But if you can get rid of the steel core and have your coil in a loop, it'll still direct all the way through. Just the current and the wire will guide the magnetic force all the way through. You can make it like a partial circle, have your coil wound, wind it long and straight and then bend it around. I think you can get a little higher efficiency than you can with the steel core, and that'll make a lot of difference. But the one thing I want to share here is I had a really good show last night, or this morning, and I really enjoyed that. And I'm really kind of keyed up on shoutitfromthemountain24@gmail.com. Anyone out there, I know we had our Shout It From the Mountain here about a month and a half to 2 months ago, and my goodness, the response on that and how many peoples and stuff, we were hitting millions, and I'm talking anytime we got these shows going here, the main deal is that we're reaching a lot of people. If you want to Shout It From the Mountain, all these networks and Shaziz Radio is a mountain. It's just like you see if you went up to the peak of a mountain and you yelled out and you heard your echo, you know the sound traveled all that far. It's something that you ever really wanted the whole world to know or shout, or if you just message of peace, love, hope, or something that you want the world to know about. Grump a little bit about the way things are transpiring and warn people of this. If you got one thing you want to shout, this is your mountain. It's for you. Shout It From the Mountain 24. I'll say it slow for you. Shout It From the Mountain 24@gmail.com. Put it in there. We'll read it over the air. If you got an MP3, we'll play it. If you got a YouTube video that you make a shout out at and have all the time to edit and do what you want with it, we'll make an MP3 of that and play it.
I say we gear up for the Shout It From the Mountain number 2. What do you think?
I say that's real great. We just have to get together and plan and kick on that.
Sounds like
maybe we'll do another whole 48-hour weekend and actually use the whole 48 hours.
Sounds good to me. All right, with that said, everybody, Beverly's Hope Show will be coming up here next, and so I'm going to go ahead and take us on up out of here with a tune or two, and peace and love, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shaziz Radio, No Borders, We Roar, and Awake Radio, and all the other networks out there. Thank you very much. Peace and love, everybody.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hey!
Operator, give me the number for 911.